Back on downtown, time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan back in studio with us.
I am here.
First time in a while. We missed you last week.
Look, everybody, I'm touching the microphone. See?
Look at that.
You can all see that.
Look at that.
That's the problem is I watch too much ESPN, and I just figure that every radio station, every show now is like televised. People can see you.
We are, but it's only government back channels that they watch monitoring us more than anything else.
Well, that's actually probably a bigger audience than this.
Yeah.
I'm so, I love. I kid because I love. Yeah, so I wasn't here last week, last Tuesday, because I was making my ears bleed watching. Actually, I take that back. Actually, the sound was quite good for a very, very loud concert. It was very doable on my ears, more so than, for instance, the music at the Hindi wedding that we were just talking about. I was privileged enough to go down to Worcester, Mass, to see a Sikh Hindi wedding this past weekend, and I had forgotten just how loud they like their music. Wow, it was. But it's great because you can't even possibly have a conversation, so you just dance, and it was awesome.
Now, I'm probably being racist here, but I just want to imagine in my mind a big Bollywood style.
It really is.
Group dance at some point.
I've seen him as we were talking about before. So my wife used to work for the father of the groom in an Indian marketing firm, and she used to dance Bharatanatyam with the mother of the groom. So we're very, very exposed in central New Jersey to this whole culture. And I used to laugh every movie that I would have to watch. All of a sudden they'd break into spontaneous dance. But no joke, at the Sangeet, so this was the big party to start the thing on Thursday, before anything, the bride and groom like came in dancing, were sat down, presented with several different dances, and the groom at one point like jumped up and jumped in and just couldn't, and it was spot on like the movies, and it was so fun. Like, you can't help but start dancing yourself. You feel like a fool if you're not, which is incredible to me because I generally do not like to dance because I am aware of just how foolish I do indeed look. But it's incredible. Also, when you're carrying a really adorable kid on your shoulder and dancing, you can't possibly look bad. You look great. So it was a lot of fun.
Moves like Jagger.
Jagger, not Mick Jagger. Phil Jagger, the guy down at the Grange Hall. Maybe that's who I look like. So last week, presumably, you aired what I recorded the week before,
yeah,
and
we
talked
did.
About Burgundy and everything. So today we're moving to the New World to talk about single vineyards, right? So like the single vineyard ideal really started in Burgundy and moved to various other parts of Europe where they figured, okay, this particular plot of earth with this particular grape is really, really good, so we're going to name this and have this all separated and set aside, and people will pay more per bottle because you only get fruit from 1 hectare, even though we own 50 hectares. This one particular vineyard planted to Pinot Noir is absolutely splendiferous and blah blah blah. So that's a European single vineyard sort of ideal, right? But Americans, being Americans, we didn't really do that, and I tried to figure out how to put into words what we figured out. And I guess this is, it's going to sound oversimplified, but I think we figured out that we want to talk about regionality as special and the particular products of a region as more special than a particular product from a particular little plot of earth. What do I mean by that? We talk a lot about Maine products, right? Like, we're very proud of things that come from Maine that are made in Maine, but that doesn't really say like what Maine does well. It just implies that pretty much everything from Maine is great, right? Mm. Because Maine rules, and it does. That's fair. Especially having recently left the state, the feeling you get crossing that bridge is just, it's unbelievable. And I'm not even born here. But basically there's this acknowledgement that everything, and if you go down to Virginia, I'm sure, all Virginia stuff is great and whatever. So we've kind of taken this idea of this particular plot of land is really special, but maybe everything that comes from it is special. And that's kind of how we treated our ideals of delimited zones, right? Our own appellations. So the American viticultural areas, AVAs, are delimited, right? Just like places in the region of Champagne, the region of Bordeaux, the region of Chianti, the region of Rioja. They're all delimited, right? But what you can grow in them is not as restrictive. It's more, again, well, this plot of earth is really special and everything that comes up from it is really, really going to be good. Now, of course, people are trying to figure out still what's most optimum. I mean, you're not going to be growing Cabernet Sauvignon in a really cool climate in Monterey and, you know, you're going to end up with unripe Cab. That's probably still where you're going to, you know, you're going to take into consideration the weather conditions, climate conditions, and you're going to grow the appropriate grapes. But there are grapes that are somewhat considered sacrosanct in terms of what you can grow next to each other. Like, you'd never think to grow Pinot Noir and Cabernet Franc in the same vineyard in Europe necessarily, but they actually thrive at very, very similar conditions. And so, in fact, you know, today we're going to be drinking a blended wine that has a little Cab Franc in it with Pinot Noir and Gamay. So these are, you know, we're kind of coming around to the fact that the earth is good, but everything comes from there. The first single vineyard in America was 1966. It was called Martha's Vineyard, owned by the Heights family. It's fairly famous. I'm sure you've probably seen it on some higher end wines. That's in Sonoma. And so, you know, that was the first one, right? It's not that long ago that we really said, okay, this real piece of earth is better than this piece of earth is better than this piece of earth. And a lot of the delimited zones are much bigger than that. And some of them even, you know, cross state borders, which acknowledges a little bit, at least, that the terroir is important as opposed to the strict regionality. But also, just a little note, if there's a vineyard designated wine in America, it only has to be 95% from there. but what's kind of cool is what growers have done is that they've taken this idea of we can grow all sorts of stuff, and they found these really good pieces of earth, and they've become really, really good vineyard managers to the point where a lot of wine growers in America and also in other parts of the world don't make their own wines. They simply exist to tend these plots of earth. And then very often they'll establish really good relationships, close relationships with the people who will be making the wine from the earth. And so they'll say, listen, you know, we want this row of Pinot that we've leased. We want it, you know, treated this way and done this way. And we're going to come every week to check on that. And what does that lead to? Well, that leads to kind of a cool way of using vineyards, right? Like if you as a young winemaker, because most young winemakers these days can't afford vineyards. I mean, even there are always vineyards for sale, right? But they're very, very expensive unless you're looking in places that really aren't necessarily known for making good wine. And if you're a young winemaker that wants to make wine from a well-known region, you're going to have to contract with people who already own those vineyards. And you're probably at this stage going to have to, you know, if you go for some of the really well-known vineyards, you're probably going to have to wait in line, right? You're going to have to take a back seat to some of the people that they've had long-term contracts with. So, you know, you have this game of young winemakers kind of going from place to place and really trying to find hidden gems, growing whatever they want to work with. And this is kind of the other thing that I'm going to talk about today. So today, I think we've actually tasted a previous iteration of this wine. This is one of the Day wines, D-A-Y, made by Brianne Day out of Oregon. And this is her vin de Day, right, which is sort of a play on the French vin de pays, so wine of the land, you know, and it used to be just a single vineyard Pinot Noir. But I brought it in today because the new vintage of it is mostly Pinot Noir, but from the same vineyards was sourced some Gamay, which is the grape in Beaujolais, right? And Cabernet Franc, which is the grape that you find a lot in the central Loire Valley in France, is in some Bordeaux, and some other places around the world. But this is kind of an example of winemaker as chef, right? Like, they've had experience with all these different fruits, they've had experience with all these different growers, and finally, once they've started to establish themselves, they really are starting to pick and choose, like spices, right? They said, okay, I think the Pinot Noir is really cool, but I think since there are no rules and the AVA has no particular rules of what I can, you know, put on it, it just has to be fruit from the Willamette Valley AVA in this particular case, and it all is. And so she made this wonderful little stew, this one, you know, and it turned out wonderfully. So it has all the love of a Pinot Noir, but then there's some, you know, the little kind of green peppery tartness of the Cab Franc, the sort of overt fruitiness of the Gamay, and it's bottled unfined and unfiltered, so you get all the beautiful sort of hazy sediments. It's a wonderful little wine, and you're going to find this all throughout the New World and some parts of the Old World as well. Winemakers really starting to make their own wines. They're not paying attention to the rules anymore, which is very, very cool. I know I'm about to run out of time, so I did want to mention also this Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. is our monthly tasting. We are having our guests Chartrand Imports. They are an organic and biodynamic focused importer based in Rockland, and they have a lot of wines that we've worked with for years and are just absolutely phenomenal. So if you're interested in organic biodynamic wines, if you're just interested in really good wines, and they're actually all very affordable wines as well, so if you're looking to stock up, maybe get a case for, you got, you know, it's actually starting to be nice here, so all of your friends and relatives are going to be like, oh, that's right, so-and-so lives in Maine, we should call them and drop in. Be prepared, and do remember that at Bangor Wine and Cheese, you get 10% off on a case, mixed or solid, so we can hook you up there. Lots of great new stuff also coming into the store as we speak. I just helped check a lot of it in, so do come in, check us out, and we'll set you up.
Some very special cheese, too.
Yes, that's right. Our specialty feature is the Nella Blue Cheese. So that is proprietary cheese named after my daughter and the Grateful Dead tune Stella Blue, if anybody's a fan. And I know there's at least a couple closet fans out there. So it's a smoked blue cheese, a cold smoked blue cheese that we have made by our friends at Smith Smokehouse. It is divine, especially, you know, on a burger on the grill or some grilled asparagus sprinkled on top of that. Really, really excellent. Kind of does this sweet, savory thing with the smoking. Really awesome. So check that out as well.
And good luck with your roasted duck breast.
Yes, that's right. Well, yeah. So every time I get like a really good idea in the morning, I like try to make it happen even though I have no time during the day. So yeah, I've had the oven going at a cool 200 degrees and hopefully my house is still there when I get there. but if not, I'll have a nice fire to roast some marshmallows over.
Fingers crossed.
Cheers.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Mahon, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Message in the Bottle. If you want to check any of the past episodes of Message in the Bottle, click the tab right on our little page, our web page thing there. Downtown with RichKimble.com.